Amen. We are indeed delighted that God has watched over us, brought us to this place. He has watched over us, and have blessed us with the reasonable portion of health and strength. It's amazing. I talked with someone this morning, and they were still hurting. And they've been going to the doctor for a long time and still hurting. We pray for everyone. Pray for each other. It's been a whirlwind of a weekend. And did we see a sight on yesterday? God called home one of his children. He had given her many years on planet Earth in our time. 96 is a long time nowadays. You read about Methuselah, who lived, 969 days? A years? 960. God has cut it down. Yes, he's cut it down. But one of his faithful servants, our dearly beloved Sister Cheatham, and she was the oldest living member of this congregation. And she probably knew, but I don't know if she knew. She has a whole lot of kinfolks. They filled up the house yesterday. I don't mean the chair. They filled up the house yesterday. Lovely family. And they seem to love each other. Isn't that wonderful? And I was informed when I drove up this morning that one of her daughters is here with us this morning. And we're just delighted to see her. But where the family usually gather in the all-purpose room, overflowed all out in the hallway here. That's a lot of people. And that's a good thing. They got to hear some of the Word of God. It's unfortunate that people in general, have such regard for preachers that they don't check behind them to see whether or not they're getting what thus saith the Word of God. You check behind everybody that teaches you something regarding how to live and how to make heaven your eternal home of abode, because you want to be sure about that. You want to make your calling and election sure. So study the Word of God. This morning, I didn't leave my lesson on the floor, did I? And you brother see some paperwork over there that I might have left. And I don't mean the bulletin. Okay. He brought me this and this and this. And that's not correct. Sister Brown, did I leave it? Or did I bring it? Mike? McCullough? I have it. You found it? No. Don't say it. Nothing to do with age. So don't even go there. And for the rest of y'all who said, oh no, he found it. I tell you, the Lord sure has some children to deal with. Some of his children. Praise God. But we're just so, can you be happy and sad at the same time? We just had a glorious time yesterday. And that's about all you can do is have a good time with Ruth Cheatham. I don't know if those boys of hers, I don't know if they would say that. Because it seems to me in reading the OB that she was you didn't play around with her instructions. You obeyed them or you suffered the consequences. So let us continue to pray for the family. This morning, I'd like to call your attention to a lesson that I've just want to talk to you a few minutes about. God, John, text you know from memory, chapter 3, John 3:16. Shout a few words with you. But we saw, those of us who were here, we saw what the house would look like when it's full. And I mean full. Yes, sir. Wall to wall. Only place they didn't have chairs was in the kitchen. The book, the verse, you probably know from early childhood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now notice the phraseology. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not will not perish, but shall not perish, but have what? Even that what we're all looking for, everlasting life with the Lord. Now everybody's going to be living forever, but everybody won't be living with the Lord. Everyone won't be living in heaven. God has two places in eternity that will be eternity. Heaven and the other place you know about. You don't want to go to the other place. You want to live in such a way that pleases God. God so loved us, let us so love God that we will obey his will. It's important that we become joyful, that we become enraptured with God if we hope to make heaven our eternal home of abode. And we're going to, as I said to this church on frequently, and as I said yesterday, we, as human beings, created by God, for God, and designed as a result of creating us for him, he created human beings to live forever. Wrong or right, righteous or unrighteous, we are created to live forever. Death came from where? Death came from listening to the devil. But life eternal, and the way God created us in Genesis chapter 2, as we have said heretofore, God breathed out. Our life was a part of God himself. And God cannot cease to exist. God has been and God is enraptured with human beings. We are created because of his love, in his image, and in his likeness. But the Bible says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly handling the word of truth. Therefore, since it is possible to displease God without faith, it's possible to please God. We are designed to please God. But it demands that we study the Word of God so that we know how to please God. Satan, when we read Revelation chapter 12, was cast out of heaven after causing a war there into the earth. And even the heavenly body says, woe unto the earth, because Satan is coming down there. Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Jesus Christ. Now don't wait. Don't wait until your eyes are closed. Before you close your eyes in death, be concerned about what thus saith the Word of God. How would God have me to live on His planet? And that's really exciting when you read the book of Genesis and read chapter 1, God creating the earth and all that He did in creating the earth and its surroundings. God has provided an entrance for humanity into a way into having good favor with Him. The gift He has provided for us to have a relationship with Him, you know what it cost Him? He created the whole universe in 5 days. Man on day number 6. But it cost Him the gift that God provided so that we could have a relationship with Him after the fall. You remember what it is? He gave up the very best that He had. He wanted and still wants a loving relationship with humanity. God wants to have a loving relationship with every one of us. Does that say something to you about you? Certainly it says something about God, but does it say something about you? You should never look down upon yourself. God created me to have a relationship with me, and He had the plan all set up before Genesis 1 and 1, according to Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, that ought to inspire us to want to please God. So, what was it? What was it that motivated God to want to continue to have a relationship with us? He was God. He created the first Adam. You know where I'm going, don't you? He could just destroy. You only have one person. Now you got two. And after you get to two, that's when the sin came into play. You only have two people. You wanted to have a relationship with them. Why didn't He just wipe out those two? It was no difficulty for Him to do that. It was no difficulty for Him to create another Adam and Eve. He didn't do that. What was His motivation? What motivated God not to do that? The answer is simple. The same thing He wants from us. It was God's love that motivated Him not to destroy us and come up with a new breed. Love is the answer. Love motivated God to bless us with the death of His Son, that we might have redemption. God even knew before He created Adam. It didn't surprise God at what Adam and Eve did. He knew beforehand. He designed a plan for our redemption that would cost Him everything that was nearest and dearest unto Him. And you mean to tell me we think it's a big thing to do to come back on night church? Even though He knew what we were going to do, He still kept the plan that He knew He was going to perform, because He knew nothing surprises God. Nothing surprises God. We get surprises, but nothing surprises God. He designed a plan for our redemption, that we could be restored and have a relationship. He could have a relationship with us, and we could have a relationship with Him. The death of His one and only begotten Son, His beloved Son. God held back nothing for us. Nothing was too beautiful of all that He had created. Nothing was too beautiful. Nothing was too wonderful for God not to have a relationship with us. What a wonder. Based upon what we read and based upon what we see, God wants to have a relationship with us more than. Think about it. God wants a relationship with us, because if we had wanted to have a relationship with God as much as God wanted to have a relationship with us, they never would have listened to the devil. And guess what? What happened then? What was true then? It's true today. It's true today. People commit sin because they love themselves more than they love God. It's still true. And God still loves us. Isn't that amazing? What a God. God held back nothing for our redemption. Nothing was too good or too valuable to Him for Him to give for Him not to help us to have a relationship with Him. From the human perspective, God went all out of His way to bless us, to have a relationship with Him. Have mercy. His unfaltering love for us was His only motivation. Guess what? If you want to go to heaven, we must reciprocate. We must love God more than we love life, more than we love the devil's promptings. If you want to go, He set the example. He held back nothing for our redemption, that we might have a relationship. That's also an example for us. God paid a high price. He paid a price so high that only He could pay it for our redemption. Only God could pay for our redemption. His only begotten Son. Why? Because He wanted and still wants a relationship with us. Question. Since we see But he's determined, and his love for us never wanes. Will that ever be true in your life? Will you make up your mind, I'm going to do what God would have me to do? For him to do what he did for me, to have his son to die for me, and he could have wiped me out and could still do that. But his love stops him. He made it possible because of his love for me, and he made it possible because of his love for you. Now, he has shown how much he loves us. Good morning. God has shown how much he loves us. Question. How much do we love him? Well, I tell you, I just have so many things to do. I just can't, I just don't seem to be able to make it to Bible class. Well, I would like to be there. Well, you see, that's encouraging when we as sons and daughters of Christ come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. Our actions and our hallelujah song, our actions and our hallelujah song should be nothing between my soul and my Savior. That's a song, I think, isn't it? Nothing between. Our song should be, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Loving him for what he has done. What he has done. And not only what he has done, but what he's still doing for us. Every minute and every hour. God's love wants to make every human being whole. God's love is to make every human being a new creature in Christ Jesus that will let him. He won't force that upon us. He won't make us be righteous. God is willing to forgive everything, all sins. Do you love him? He loves you. He loves us. The very fact that we are still breathing manifests his love. Everything God is willing to, all sins, he is willing to forgive and make all things new. Do you love him for what he did with his son? Do you love his son for what he did for us on the cross? He wants to have a close relationship. Look at the universe, how the world is made. Sunshine, rain, good living, don't want to leave. Feed the doctor. Amen. Go to the doctor, and you're still hurting, but you still go. Why not? Since we know that God loves us, since we know that all of this that we love to try to stay with so many years, since we have that wisdom, we know that man cannot create and make an earth, period. I don't even say like this. He can't make an earth, period. Our confine is right here on planet Earth. All we know about the man down in Florida studying how to get up there to to all those talking about the stars and the moon and those stars and that they can't see with the natural eye. We read about that. But I was reading one day in the paper where they had come to a conclusion that they could see through the telescope that they had put up in the sky so far away, a star so far away, because it was still giving light, that if the man was put in there in a capsule and shot up in space, yes, sir, it would take him 85 years to get there. And since he would already be an adult leaving here, he'd be dead when he got there if he made it. And that wasn't the end of it. That was just as far as that telescope could reach. We don't know how far it is. But Jesus went back, and he didn't have no ship. And it didn't take him 85 years to get back. Well, church, do you love the Lord? God loves us, and he manifested his love by giving the best that he had. Do you love him enough? Do we love him enough to trust your future with him? Do you love him that much? If that's the case, act like it. Live like it. Let him know, and let others know that you love him. You're not ashamed of letting to be known, I love Jesus. I love walking with the Lord. Take the first step. Stepping out on faith. If you're not in the body of Christ, the Bible says that the church, what's the church's relationship with Jesus Christ? The body says the church is his wife. Jesus is not a polygamist. He only has one wife. Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4. If it's not chapter 4, read chapter 3. But I think it's chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many is one? One. One is less than two and more than none. That's one. Put on Jesus. Let him add you to his family this morning. When the apostles preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching to that motley crowd, he came to a position. He came to a point in his sermon that said to that motley crowd in Jerusalem, thousands gathered there, that same man that y'all put on a cross 50 days ago, that was the Jesus that your parents taught you about. And that was the Jesus that you've been looking for. And you all crucified him. That shocked them. They were shocked. Pricked in their heart. Acts 2:37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or from this wicked generation. The Bible says, then they, not everybody, but then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day that they heard the message, understood the message, they received it. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, if there's only one Lord, and the church is his wife, he only has one church. He's coming back for one church. He told the apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded." Every one of those apostles taught the same gospel, established the same church. One church, established by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. What is your option? Do you love him enough? You've heard the word. Do you believe the word? And if you're supporting an organization that's called a church that you can't read about in the Bible, what's your reason for supporting it? The apostles didn't preach it. Jesus told his apostles to go and teach whatsoever I have commanded. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If your Bible, if your church ain't in the Bible, it ain't from Jesus. Pardon my colloquialism, but it's not from God. We're going to be judged out of this book. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 20. This is the book that's going to be open. Yes, the other book. The other books. Well, you put plural on that one. Yes, because that's the books of everybody that has ever lived. But there's only one book that's going to, we're going to be making this decision out of. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. You want to hear the song that I put on my paper? Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I'm not going, since I know the truth, I'm not going to let anything deter me from obeying the gospel and living according to the Word of God. Because when I close my eyes in death, I want to make sure that I've made my calling and election sure with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. None of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There is nothing between my soul and my Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing come between you and the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever, be cut off. He is my all. He's my everything. Nothing between, like pride or station, self-life or friends, nothing between between me and my Savior. I am resolved that nothing comes between my Savior and me. Is that your resolve? Is that your resolve? Come to Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So there's only one way to come to Jesus. Prayer has nothing to do with it. That's a privilege that God gives to his children. That's a privilege that those who are already saved that have the privilege of God hearing their prayer. God does not hear sinners' prayer. I've already answered your question. You may not recognize it, but let me answer it again. How do I become a member of the Lord's church that was established when Peter preached the gospel in your Bible in Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. They heard the gospel. Approximately 3,000 believed the gospel. They were told to repent or be godly sorrowful for their sin, their past sins, and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were told to acknowledge Him, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of every sin they have ever committed. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's God's formula. When you do that, when anyone does that, God adopts that person as His daughter or His son. Make your calling and election sure. The day's going to come when we too will depart this earth. Going is not bad if you are prepared for the going. If you are right with God, you can say that on your deathbed, I'm on my way to be with my Lord. Jesus knew when He died on the cross, He knew that He died in favor with God. So why would He be worried, or why would He be troubled? We can have that same confidence if we die in the Lord. What benefit is it to you to support that which God doesn't support in His Bible? One Lord, how many is one? Less than two, and more than none. That's one. The apostles guided, Jesus told them, don't go anywhere. I want you to Acts chapter 1. I want you to go and preach to all the world. But don't go anywhere until the Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That will guide you into all truth. Amen. They went to Jerusalem. That was in chapter 1. Acts. Chapter 2. They are baptized with the Holy Spirit and begin to preach. I want you to get my message straight. Yeah. Without addition or subtraction. We have it here. Do you find your church in here? Do you find their practice in here? Then it has to be the Church of Christ. If that's what you find, it has to be the Church of Christ. This is the Church of Christ. Make your calling and election sure. But it's your choice. You don't have to go to heaven. God can let this world exist. Until He gets the number He wants. Even if it's a million years from now, He can let it exist that long until He gets the number He wants. You don't want Him? He doesn't have to beg. Are you there? But I want you to know He loves you. And He wants you. It's your decision. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you have not been faithful, renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ and spend the rest of your days pleasing Him in His service. Make your own decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power
in the blood.
There's power
in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful
power
in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood on the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood on the Lamb.
putting off can become a habit. You put off one time, you put off two times. It makes it easier to put off the third time. And then death gets you in that state of put off when you have the opportunity. Jesus said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't be hard-headed. That's what Jesus says. You think it's a good idea to argue with Jesus? You think it's a good idea to disobey his instructions? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. And learn of me. Now, if you don't do it now, what makes you think that the days are going to just keep coming your way until you decide, I think I'll try it now? 50 years down the road. How you know you're going to make it? 50 years down the road. We've heard so much false doctrine, it's hard to believe the truth when it comes, even though we can read it in the Bible. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. You may lose. We'll sing one more stanza, and you may be seated.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You know, we've heard and seen, heard so many doctrines, seen so many different places of worship, that it's hard, if we don't study our Bible, to believe that the Lord only has one church. Well, now that's you with your thinking. What do you read that's God's commandments? He says, the day you hear my voice, don't be hard-headed. He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. His word is going to stand forever. It's not going away. He's going to see to that. It's going to stand forever. For those already of us already in the Lord's Church, don't take your salvation for granted. Make your calling and election by God sure. Come into his vineyard and work. If it's a hassle, if it's a challenge for you just to come and worship him, and he's blessed you all week, and you have trouble just coming and say thank you, Lord, and encouraging the rest of his saints, there is a problem somewhere. You must be sure that you are sure that you want to go to heaven. Yeah, I want to go, but are you living like you want to go? Are you manifesting that kind of action? I want my brothers and sisters to know that I want to be encouragers to them. Hebrews 10:25. And I want to be pleasing to God. You're a great church. But what I'll preach, I want it on my record that I encourage your people. And I endeavor to encourage those who were not your people to become your child of God. Don't make decisions. Don't make decisions that do not put God first. Being in the Church of Christ is not a guarantee that you're going to make heaven your home of abode. You must still obey His instructions after you become a member of His family. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why you saying all that? Because I want it on my record. Because I'm going to stand before judgment just like you are. And I want to be saved. And guess what? I want to be able to shake your hand in glory land. God bless.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's one.